Canadian Early Birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. The census, an upcoming heat wave, and why the Attorney General is asking the state Supreme Court to restore a recently blocked state deadline for receiving mail-in ballots. It's Wednesday, May 27th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A Yellowstone County woman in her 80s has died of COVID-19, the 17th death in Montana due to the respiratory virus. County health officials announced the death yesterday. According to Riverstone Health, the woman, whose name has not been released, died Monday at a Billings hospital. She is the third person to die from coronavirus in the county. Montana's last confirmed COVID-19 death happened on April 28th, also in Yellowstone County. There have been no new cases among the more than 3,000 tests run in the 5 days from Thursday through Monday. One new case was discovered in Bighorn County yesterday. Tests have confirmed 479 cases of COVID-19 in Montana to date. 21 cases are still active. Governor Steve Bullock has announced plans for the second phase of reopening the economy to begin on June 1st with increased capacity at bars and restaurants and a lifting of the 14-day quarantine for out-of-state travelers. Just over half of Montana households have responded to the 2020 U.S. Census, according to the State Department of Commerce. Rachel Kramer reports the state still trails the national response rate.
While 60% of households in the U.S. have completed the once-in-a-decade count, Montana's statewide response rate lags behind at 51%. At the county level, Yellowstone has the highest rate of participation at 68%. Petroleum has the lowest with less than 12. The 2020 census will determine Montana's share of federal funding over the next 10 years, shape local voting districts, and determine whether Montana will get another representative in Congress. Like other rural states, Montana largely depends on census field workers to get the word out. The U.S. Census Bureau reopened some of its Montana offices in early May after the state started lifting restrictions related to COVID-19. The Bureau estimates 200,000 households will receive official packets on their doorsteps in the coming weeks. The form, which takes about 10 minutes to fill out, can also be completed online or by phone. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The Montana Department of Labor and Industry sent out more than $56 million in unemployment insurance payments last week. The total includes regular unemployment payments, expanded pandemic assistance, and the $600 weekly addition from the Federal CARES Act. Filings for initial unemployment insurance claims peaked in early April, a few weeks after state-mandated business closures went into effect to limit the spread of the COVID-19 illness. Continued unemployment claims peaked at the end of April and have been slowly decreasing since as businesses start reopening. It's not your imagination. It's been an unusually cool Montana May. That's about to change in a big way. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Midsummer weather coming soon to a town near you. A high-pressure system building over western Montana will lead to temperatures warming to near 90 degrees by Friday. That's 15 to 20 degrees above normal for this time of year, according to National Weather Service meteorologist Jeff Kitzmiller in Missoula.
We still have at least 100% snowpack in most of the mountains. It's like the Clark Fork Basin is right at 100%. So we'll melt off more of that snow and put that in the rivers. So all the rivers will come up. The Clark Fork will stay above flood stage and it'll rise. It won't get as high as the last rise, but and everything else, like the Bitterroot River, looks like it's going to rise, but it should stay below any type of a flood stage right now.
Saturday could top out at 94 degrees before the system moves east to heat up eastern Montana. Kitzmiller says the heat wave may come as a shock given May's below normal temperatures. He advises caution to anyone turning to our swollen and cold rivers and streams to beat the heat.
It is really cold. I was taking a look around at stream temperatures and they're all, even lake temperatures, they're all in the 40s for the most part. Some are in the low 40s, some are a little bit warmer. That means it'll probably only take about an hour of being in that water before you actually get to hypothermia.
Forecast models are calling for the potential of strong to severe thunderstorms Saturday before temperatures moderate back into the 70s next week, with increasing chances for showers and thunderstorms. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
A U.S. judge has dealt a setback to the Trump administration's efforts to increase domestic oil and gas exploration. Judge Brian Morris said administration officials failed to protect habitat for a declining bird species when it issued leases on hundreds of thousands of acres. The case involves greater sage grouse, a ground-dwelling bird that's seen its numbers drop dramatically in recent decades. In his ruling late Friday, Morris struck down administration policies that have allowed more drilling in sage-grouse habitat. The judge also canceled leases on more than 300,000 acres in Montana and Wyoming, and said officials would have to return the sales proceeds to companies. The commission that regulates electricity utilities in Montana will seek public input on how it'll implement a bill provision that allows utilities and developers to ask for a third party to oversee the hearing on their cases. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The Montana Public Service Commission, at its Tuesday meeting, unanimously voted to solicit public comment on how it'll follow through on a bill that will allow PSC applicants to request a type of governmental referee called a hearings examiner. The bill becomes effective July 1st. Billings Representative Daniel Zelnikov, who's running for the PSC in the upcoming primary on the Republican ticket, sponsored the bill.
And what I wanted was, if there is some concept of unfair hearing coming up, then you could request a hearings examiner and it will level the playing field. And in the end, the commissioners still make the decision, but the whole hearing will be heard out through a hearings examiner versus the commission.
The PSC will still be able to reject a utility's request for a hearings examiner by vote. PSC attorney Zach Rogala says this provision duplicates existing code to a large degree. This provision is one detail of a bill that the Montana legislature passed last year. The bill requires public utilities to create advisory committees for resource planning and creates a competitive solicitation process for public utilities, among other things. At its meeting, the PSC said it would put a notice of public comment out over the next few days and leave about a month of feedback, which will play into how the PSC interprets and implements the provision. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana's Attorney General is asking the state Supreme Court to restore a recently blocked state deadline for receiving mail-in ballots ahead of the June 2nd primary. The election is being conducted by mail due to the novel coronavirus pandemic. Kevin Trevelin reports.
A Yellowstone County District Court judge issued an injunction on Friday temporarily suspending a state law saying mail-in ballots must be received at a county election office by 8 p.m. on Election Day. The order says ballots must instead be postmarked by Election Day. Tuesday morning, State Attorney General Tim Fox asked the Montana Supreme Court to halt the district court's order and quickly rule on the law establishing Montana's Election Day receipt deadline. In a court filing, Fox argues a later ballot deadline would threaten the upcoming primary election's integrity while confusing voters and hampering election officials. The state Supreme Court hasn't scheduled any next steps on the request submitted by Fox, who is also running for governor as a Republican. As for the district court injunction's ground-level impacts, Yellowstone County Elections Administrator Brett Rutherford says his office is already set up to process ballots after Election Day. He says the bigger issue is ensuring voters have the correct information to submit envelopes in time.
Obviously, it's frustrating to have to change your message on a daily basis, especially now that the original instructions tell the voters to make sure they're back in our office by June 2nd. So we're just going to have to roll with it.
Rutherford advises voters to try to get their ballots into their local election office by June 2nd anyway, in case the new Election Day postmark deadline is overturned in the meantime. In Friday's injunction, the district court found the state's original ballot receipt deadline would, quote, significantly suppress voter turnout, unquote, by disproportionately burdening people who are Native American, elderly, disabled, poor, or first-time voters, among others. District Court Judge Donald Harris also wrote the deadline would, quote, only exacerbate voter suppression because of the COVID-19 pandemic, unquote. The court found the state failed to present any evidence that the deadline promotes a compelling state interest. Members of Montana's Democratic Party filed the initial challenge to the state's Election Day receipt deadline. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.